Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Herman and Hitchcock. The Herman in our title is Bernard Herman, and today we're going to be looking at that composer's work with the director Alfred Hitchcock, one of the most productive partnerships between a composer and filmmaker. You know, if you're doing a series about music in the cinema, which we have been doing here, this is one of the first ideas that will pop into a movie fan's head. And in some ways, it's a subject that's been well covered over the years. But because this is our 50th episode of The Music and the Movies, I thought I'd indulge myself and just do a take on one of my favorite subjects. Plus, it gives us a chance to explore what really worked in this partnership and what, in the end, went awry. Then for the trailer, at the end of the show, we're going to include a nod to a movie that Herman worked on with Hitchcock without that music ever being heard in the film. Bernard Herman was born in New York City in 1911, studied music at NYU and Juilliard, and was always a serious classical composer alongside his movie career, which began when Orson Welles brought him out to Hollywood after some shared adventures in radio in order to create the score for Welles' film Citizen Kane. An appropriately auspicious beginning. That was 1941. Bernard Herman was well-known and respected by the time he came to work with Alfred Hitchcock in the 1950s. Hitchcock, too, was well into his successful career by then, and the movie he first engaged Herman for was something of a lark, the 1955 film The Trouble with Harry. Hitchcock was known as the master of suspense, of course, but this was an overt comedy, albeit very dark and English in its humor, I think you could say. The film has a low-key approach to the problem of disposing of an inconvenient corpse. It has a bucolic New England setting. And it has Shirley MacLaine in her first movie role. And its music is really good fun, very much in the tongue-in-cheek attitude of the whole thing, as we will hear in these selections from the soundtrack. We're going to start with the main title music, which begins ominously but turns sprightly pretty quickly, and then we'll hear some other short cues. This is music from The Trouble with Harry.
Thank you.
Music from The Trouble with Harry, composed by Bernard Herrmann. You just heard a brief cue called Waltz Macabre, which fits the mood of this puckish film. Before that was a lyrical passage called Tea Time. And before that, quite a lively tune titled The Doctor. And we began with the opening credits music. Those are drawn from a recording of the score by the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, conducted by Joel McNeely. Music that catches the countryside New England setting somehow certainly reminds the viewer that none of this is to be taken too seriously. Hitchcock apparently loved the music and the film, and shortly after, when he was starting his TV show, where he would introduce each episode with a monologue, Hitchcock apparently screened The Trouble with Harry to his writers as an example of the droll tone that he wanted to hit. Hitchcock had actually wanted to work with Bernard Herrmann before this. The timing had not worked out, but now that he had him, he stuck with him for the next decade. Next up was a 1956 remake of a film Hitchcock had made in the 1930s, The Man Who Knew Too Much. And it's interesting to note that this suspense film actually has music as a key plot element. James Stewart and Doris Day play a married couple on vacation in Morocco. Their son is kidnapped there because, you know, Doris Day's in the picture, so there kind of has to be a chance for her to sing. And the big song is, in fact, the Oscar-winning song from that year, Que Sera Sera, which was written by Jay Livingston and Ray Evans, not by Bernard Herrmann. But it not only provides a chance for the movie's star to do her thing, it actually plays a really important role in the one very suspenseful scene when the singing of the song becomes a way to communicate with the kidnapped boy. And then the other big musical element in the movie is kept over from the 1930s film. The climax involves a big assassination plot, and it's keyed to a moment in a live music performance in a concert hall. The piece composed for that 1930s film was called Storm Clouds Cantata. It was composed by Arthur Benjamin, which very cleverly led to a climax that would be just right for a gunshot to ring out at that very moment. And Hitchcock told Bernard Herrmann that he could replace this piece with something of his own composition, but Herrmann actually thought it was pretty good for the purposes of the film. And so, actually, Bernard Herrmann appears on screen in this sequence as the conductor of the orchestra in this scene set at Albert Hall. So let's listen to a little of Herrmann's own music for the score. This is the opening credits music for The Man Who Knew Too Much. Music by Bernard Herrmann for The Man Who Knew Too Much, the second collaboration between that composer and Alfred Hitchcock. You're listening to The Music of the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, talking about the partnership between Bernard Herrmann and Alfred Hitchcock. Those two went to a very different project next, as befitted a period in Hitchcock's career that has its share of experiments. The Wrong Man is a stripped-down, black-and-white, very grim study of a man played by Henry Fonda, wrongly arrested for a crime. It's based on a true story, largely shot in real locations. The character is a jazz musician, which gave Herman the chance to try a few different modes. Take a listen to the main title music here, which accompanies a scene of Fonda playing in a little club, doing his job. Even in this upbeat number, a way to start the movie, you can hear maybe some warning signs coming out in the music. That's going to be followed by a cue titled Manny Returns Home, which sounds more like the overall mood of the coming film. Music from The Wrong Man, composed by Bernard Herrmann. You just heard a typically downbeat cue in which the protagonist's instrument, the bass fiddle, sort of seems to make itself heard there. That was preceded by the opening credits music, somewhat incongruously lively number that reflects the main character's job, playing in a dance band. You know, one interesting thing about Hitchcock's run during this time is the attention to the female characters, which is often more empathetic than to the nominal male protagonist of the movie. Think of Doris Day, Kim Novak in Vertigo, even Janet Leigh in Psycho. And that is true of The Wrong Man. Henry Fonda remains sort of an honest, upstanding fellow throughout his ordeal, but his wife, played by Vera Miles, undergoes a breakdown, and the movie turns its focus to her. Vera Miles gives a brilliant performance, and here's a music cue that seems to capture some of the fragility of the character as she makes a phone call to an attorney. A simple scene, but the way Hitchcock shoots it and the way Vera Miles plays it makes it clear that this is an important moment.
Thank you.
Music from The Wrong Man by Bernard Herrmann. That cue titled Phone Call to the Lawyer, showcasing Vera Miles' performance. Vera Miles was under contract to Hitchcock, and she was supposed to star in his next movie after The Wrong Man, but apparently became somewhat wary of his overbearing attention, and right before filming was to begin, she got pregnant. Hitchcock actually ended up with a much bigger star, Kim Novak, who would have her finest hour in that next film, Vertigo. It's a story of a man, played by James Stewart again, with a fear of falling, who falls in love anyway, with fatal consequences. Bernard Herrmann would create one of his richest scores for this picture, a little of which you hear at the beginning of our show each episode. Today we're going to listen to a couple of pieces from the score. The first one is a cue called By the Fireside, where private investigator Jimmy Stewart first speaks with mystery woman Novak, whom he's been hired to observe, and they're now at his apartment after he's picked her out of San Francisco Bay. I used to show this scene for a one-night class that I led called How to Watch a Movie, because in some ways it's a simple scene, two people talking in a room, but it's a textbook example of how to direct, where to put the camera, what the color and lighting should be, how to pace it, how to direct actors. Herrmann's music plays along as the detective becomes transfixed, and it's a good example of how Herrmann, you know, he could be very assertive in his soundtracks. He was not exactly bashful, but he could also make his music unnoticed in a scene, quietly complementing the action without drawing attention to itself. Very quiet musical cue there from Alfred Hitchcock's 1958 film Vertigo, composed by Bernard Herrmann. You're listening to the Music of the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We are talking about the partnership between the composer, Bernard Herrmann, and the director, Alfred Hitchcock. That dense score for Vertigo climaxes in a scene in which, we don't want to give everything away here, but Jimmy Stewart's detective finds himself trying to recreate his lost love in another woman, sort of physical transformation that has very unhealthy implications for both of them. In this piece of music titled Scene d'Amour, you can hear that Herman is romantically channeling Wagner's Tristan and Isolde because it's a sequence that needs something big. more music there from Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo, a film that ended up in the number one position in Sight and Sound magazine's poll of film critics the last time they did one of those things. Music by Bernard Herrmann, whose next film with Hitchcock would prove much more energetic and somewhat inventive, too, the 1959 hit North by Northwest. You will recall that Cary Grant is the wrong man in this movie, a misidentification that sends him on a merry chase that includes a sultry train ride, getting chased by a crop duster, and hanging off Mount Rushmore in the film's incredible climax. So, I'll ask you, is this the greatest opening credits music in the history of movies? You're free to decide for yourselves as long as the answer is yes. Opening music from North by Northwest, composed by Bernard Herrmann, and for my money, the greatest opening credits music ever. But then North by Northwest is also my favorite movie, so I'm prejudiced. In a way, you know, it's a movie about why we go to movies. It's about a man who's going about his usual business one day and is abruptly taken out of his normal life and put on a wild adventure, which is kind of our experience going to the movies, at least for 2 hours at a time. Why do we go to the movies anyway if real life were enough? We'd never bother with movies or novels or plays. I think Hitchcock understood that appeal, even when his movies caused us to suffer suspense or be disturbed. That may be why he said that if other directors made slices of life, he made slices of cake. Here's another mood from North by Northwest, this time a love theme that crops up when Cary Grant takes the train and finds cool blonde Eva Marie Saint there. The cue is simply titled Interlude. Thank you. music from North by Northwest by Bernard Herrmann. Well, this astonishing run between composer and director continued with the 1960 release Psycho, a project that began when Alfred Hitchcock noticed the success of low-budget horror films in the late 50s, as he put it to the screenwriter, "What if somebody good made one?" The storyline of Psycho carries a number of innovations and experiments, including the shock of killing off the main character after a half hour, and a murder staged in a shower. Herrmann decided he would use nothing but strings in his orchestra, which brings a nightmarish sort of skeletal quality, music for shrieking along to. We played a few things from Psycho in the show, but I haven't ever played the opening credits music, another amazing curtain lifter here, and perfectly suited to the slashing credits designed by the celebrated Saul Bass. And we'll follow that with what comes next in the movie, dreamy sort of music that delivers us into the drabness of Phoenix, Arizona, on Friday, December the 11th at 2:43 p.m. Thank you. music from Psycho, composed by Bernard Herrmann. We just heard the two opening pieces in the film recorded for an album of the score by the Royal Scottish Orchestra. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, talking about the partnership between Bernard Herrmann and Alfred Hitchcock. If you're wondering whether Hitchcock esteemed Herrmann's role in the film, notice that in the Psycho opening credits, Herrmann's name is about twice the size of the screenwriter, Joseph Stefano, and indeed is the next to last credit there, right before Hitchcock's own. For the startling sequence in which one character is murdered in a shower, Hitchcock originally wanted to use no music. But Herrmann pressed the point. He was known to be a stubborn and rather blunt man and came up with one of the most famous music cues in all of film history. We're going to build to that with a minute of music from the previous scene. That's a cue titled The Bathroom, and then go directly to the murder. Two cues from Psycho by Bernard Herrmann. Of course, you just heard The Murder. That's the music from the shower scene. Already an innovative sequence cut together with tiny pieces of film, each shot lasting only a second or so. The screeching music goes perfectly with that jagged, rapid-fire montage and became so celebrated that it still gets parodied, or certainly referred to, or just ripped off in other people's soundtracks. You know, I was once in London for visiting an exhibition in a museum by an artist named Douglas Gordon, a Scottish artist, and he had created something called 24-Hour Psycho, which is exactly what it sounds like. The movie slowed down so that it's projected on a screen, and it takes 24 hours for it to show. So the process is glacial as you're sitting there watching it, but I happened to walk in at just about the time the shower sequence was going to start, so it actually moved a little quicker than the rest of this 24-hour experience. I have to say it was one of those amazing things that made you think about a movie that you knew already in a completely different way. And there was something about watching that sequence with its implied violence. As you may know, Hitchcock always said that you never see the knife hit the body, although maybe once. But seeing it that slow made that sequence look all the more violent and obscene, I would say. And of course, you were seeing it without music, so maybe we were seeing what Alfred Hitchcock intended originally. Well, for their next film, The Birds, Hitchcock actually decided to have no soundtrack music. Although he still used music in a brilliant counterpoint way in that one scene, you might remember, where children inside a schoolhouse are singing a repetitive folk song as the crows gather menacingly behind Tippi Hedren. And yet, Bernard Herrmann was still hired on the film, despite the lack of music. He was given a special credit as the film's sound consultant. The bird sounds were electronically created and arranged almost like a musical score. After the great success of The Birds, Herman was employed again for a more conventional score, this time for Hitchcock's 1964 film Marnie, strange and obsessive story starring Tippi Hedren again as a kleptomaniac whose past hides a very troubling damage. Many years ago, I remember I bought the soundtrack album for this, and it was in red vinyl. Red being the color that triggers Marnie's memories of trauma. I wonder what I ever did with that LP. Herman's score for this one doesn't have the variety of his other projects for Hitchcock. It's a very repetitive soundtrack, perhaps suits its neurotic subject. Here's music from early in the film. The cue is actually titled Marnie, that repeats some of the themes from the more aggressive opening credits music. Music from the film Marnie, composed by Bernard Herrmann. As we were saying, this score tends to repeat melodies and main themes from one piece to the next, which in a way, it does suit the very neurotic characters in the film. There's something almost maniacal about it, even if some of the pieces are romantic in nature. You know, nobody really came out of Marnie very well, even if the film is a fascinating one. The film didn't click with audiences in 1964, and Hitchcock's studio, and perhaps Hitchcock himself, came to view Herman's music as rather old-fashioned for the swinging 60s. And that is going to lead us into our trailer selection today. Because here we have a Bernard Herman score for an Alfred Hitchcock movie that was not ultimately part of the movie. Herman signed on to write the music for Torn Curtain, the next Hitchcock picture, and the studio made it known that they wouldn't mind if this film had something like a pop song that could come out of it. You know, like they were doing with those James Bond movies. And after all, Torn Curtain was a spy picture, too. So Herman went about composing his score, and Hitchcock showed up to hear it. And after the first selection, They had a huge argument right there in front of the orchestra. Hitchcock asking where the hit song was, and Herman answering that he did not write pop music, and it escalated from there. And so a long-term partnership was permanently severed. Herman's music, his entire score for Torn Curtain, was shelved, and a complete new score was composed by John Addison. He had done the music for the Oscar-winning film Tom Jones. So that's where our story ends, except that Bernard Herrmann's music for Torn Curtain has been recorded, and you can hear how this film might have sounded. We'll take one scene in particular, a murder sequence in which Paul Newman's spy must kill his counterpart in a farmhouse, an exceptionally violent scene that shows how difficult, how awkward, how messy it is trying to kill someone by hand. A feeling emphasized by the fact that ultimately Hitchcock decided not to use music for this scene as he had intended for the shower scene in Psycho. It works brilliantly. However, Bernard Herrmann had created some music for his sequence, and we're going to hear that now. Music composed by Bernard Herrmann for Torn Curtain, but not used in the film after Herrmann's score was discarded and a new composer brought in. That version was recorded by the Los Angeles Philharmonic, conducted by Esa-Pekka Salonen. So the partnership that we talked about today ended unhappily, but had brought forth a remarkable amount of memorable movie music. Herrmann's ability to create big, dramatic sounds, as well as deeply romantic music, was well-suited to the rich cakes that Hitchcock was baking. They worked together on 9 films, if you include both The Birds and Torn Curtain, I guess, and even Hitchcock's TV show, a little bit. And in their marriage of sound and image, they created some of the headiest moments in all of cinema. We're going to go out with another piece from North by Northwest as Cary Grant finally gets away from that crop duster, another scene that mostly plays without music until the very end. This is Robert Horton. I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.